Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, FamilyPetAncestry.com. You're probably already there. Let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song with his wife, Sarah, that you just heard. He's going to sing his version of the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Patrick Brady is going to fix this audio, and Vilmos works on JackieCation.com, the website. There are many ways to support the show. The Amazon link is one. You can use an Amazon link from JackieCation.com or DorkForest.com to go to Amazon. You order like normal, and it supports the show. There is a straight-up donation button, PayPal or Venmo, to this email address that is mine, Jackie@JackieCation.com, where you can just donate to the show if you like the show a lot. I think PayPal has figured out a way to do a monthly. If you want to go monthly, please do. Other ways to support the show if you want to is you can buy merch. There's Dork Forest t-shirts, and all the shirts are union made here in America, so they run a little big. Union Bayside, so if you want to look up their size chart. And then the other merch is my stand-up merch. On JackieCation.com, you can watch me do stand-up, you can look at my schedule, and the stand-up merch, a couple of different t-shirts, couple of different enamel pins, and all of my CDs and my DVD. If you want to live stream my DVD, it's over there at comedyfilmnerds.com. They have a live streaming capability, or you can get a hard copy of the DVD on my website. Oh, there are premium episodes at Bandcamp. TheDorkForest.bandcamp.com has probably 10 episodes that were done live. They cost me a couple of bucks to make, so I charge you a couple of bucks. If you've run out of regular episodes, go over to TheDorkForest.bandcamp.com and get some more. Other than that, I say this, let's get into the show. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I am in my living room with the most confident bitch you've ever met in your life. It's Lydia Popovich.
That is right. Very confident bitch. Coming at you direct.
Coming at you direct. This is stand-up comic Lydia Popovich from San Francisco. Lives here in Los Angeles. We'll be hosting the Women Crush Wednesdays on June 26th.
That's true.
If you're in LA, come to that. You will have just missed her all over the Bay Area, but I will tweet about it prior.
True.
So this is awesome that you've come. Did you listen?
You know what? I did. I didn't listen to all of it.
No, no.
I listened because I listened when it first came out.
Right.
Just because I wanted to support my friend Amy.
A little refresher. Yeah.
Go for it.
I just want to say, Lydia Popovich, by the way, is L-Y-D-I-A. Popovich is spelled like Popovich. P-O-P-O-V-I-C-H.
That's correct.
That's it. .com. And then on Instagram and Twitter, it's at Hater Tuesday, H-A-T-E-R, Tuesday.
You got it perfect.
There we go. Now now that you've been introduced to the masses,
yes.
You know a lot about Dolly Parton as well.
I know an inordinate amount about Dolly Parton. To say that I know a lot is probably a wild understatement. Like, I actually used to open up sets, and occasionally still do, depending upon what part of the country I'm in. And I say I have what's known as an unhealthy obsession with Miss Dolly Parton. I have a whole 15-minute, 20-minute. I won $400 once at a storytelling night talking about the first time that I went to Dollywood and how I knew that Dolly Parton was the center of joy in my life. I'm obsessed with her. I will straight up admit I am obsessed.
There are women your age. This is what, since the Amy Miller episode of the Dork Forest, I keep meeting, because I have started listening to Dolly Parton.
Good, you should be. Yeah. Everybody should be.
Everybody should be. You know, she is probably, I don't know, maybe 5, maybe 10 years older than me. I don't know how old.
Oh, she's a lot more older. She's 72 years old.
Oh, but she's a lot older.
She's a lot older than you, Jackie.
It's like 20 years, a little bit less than 20 years. So, I've never even seen 9 to 5.
That's crazy.
I know, but
I get it.
But get this, is Amy brought over a copy of The Best Little Whorehouse and left it with me.
I think that's so amazing. I remember that, actually, of her being like, oh, well, that's funny because I have an extra copy, which is hilarious because I'm the same way. I have several copies of things. And everything. I mean, I have a copy of the movie Rhinestone in my car right now.
Right now.
That I put into the DVD player in my car.
So you can just listen to it?
Yeah, yeah. No, I can watch it because I have like a little screen. I have like a little thing. It has a DVD.
You're driving.
Well, no. I'm parked and I'm early for shows.
Oh, you could just put it in.
I sit in the car, or you go in and the show's running late and they're like, it's 45 minutes. I head out to the car. I have a nice little collection of DVDs. Pop in Rhinestone. Fast forward it to my favorite chapter. Watch a little performance footage of her and some rhinestones. Remember who the fuck I am. Fix some jokes. Go back in there and murder. It keeps me inspired.
Oh my God, I want to grow up and be you.
Dude.
That is the fucking best thing ever.
You have to have these little moments. Like, that's honestly one of the reasons why I love Dolly Parton is because she truly taught me how to celebrate myself.
Okay.
How to loud myself as a treasure and a gift.
Okay.
How to articulate a brand around myself.
Okay.
How to figure out how to make my own road regardless of my gender.
Okay.
Like, I have a whole, I mean, I definitely want to talk about Dolly Parton and gender. That is something that is huge for me.
Interesting.
And it is fascinating and is something that I've been diving really deep into on weird, like, scholastic academic levels. Like, I'm reading a very proper book right now.
What are you reading?
It's a book about Dolly Parton and gender. I'm going to mess up the whole title. Let me look. I'm going to have to look at it and see. I'm actually reading it and listening to it on an audiobook
because
I like the repetition.
Yeah.
Looking at a lot of words. It's frustrating.
Okay.
And I'm especially on time.
I have a hard time reading on a Kindle unless it's a reread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bought the physical book.
Well, there you go.
So I have the actual pages because I can't read on a device more than like an Instagram's post worth.
Right. Or an article. I can scan an article.
See, even that? That's asking a lot. I'm like, let me print this out. I'll read it. Let me print it out.
I do love to print it out.
I do that too.
Yeah.
I think that's when those of us who are around when the internet got invented, if you were alive when the internet was invented, I couldn't say those two words at the same time. I feel like there's more of us that are like, can I just print it out?
Yeah.
Is there a hard copy somewhere?
I need a hard copy.
I don't like it.
People will send me things and they're like, can you proofread this for me? And I was like, no.
I don't want to print it out. I'm out of ink.
I'm not going to use my entire toner cartridge. If you print it out and hand it to me, I'll 100% probably read it.
Give you some
if
notes.
It's not too long. Don't send me shit. That's the end of that sentence.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
I think I was going to say, you're opening yourself up, Jackie.
Exactly. Don't do it.
I don't even own pens. That's what you need to say. Right now, she's just rubbing her hand against a glass plate.
That's it.
So the book is called Dolly Parton, Gender and Country Music.
Oh.
And it's written by Lee H. Edwards, which I am still to this day not sure if it's a man or a woman. Also, don't care.
Don't care.
Just want to. It's a fascinating dissection.
It's a great
so
book.
Far, it's been amazing. It's an amazing dissection of country music, which is male dominated. I mean, all music is male dominated, but country music in specific has been male dominated forever. Women have never been on top of country music. That's not a thing.
There's
happening.
Like three that are just around at all times. And I remember like Loretta Lynn and a couple other.
Tammy Wynette.
And then
Dolly Parton.
And Dolly Parton.
That's kind of it. And then you move into the 80s and you have Crystal Gayle.
Right.
Then you move into the 90s and that's when you start kind of like not listening to country music at all. Everybody decided to hate it again.
Right.
And then in the early 2000s, it comes back and you have, you know, your good old Martina McBride's, you know, off of the back tails is also a little bit of that bluegrass shit happening.
Right.
You know, you've got your Alison Krauses.
Okay.
You know, and there's some stuff, you know, and then you got your glitzy and your glammy and your Miranda Lambert's, you know what I mean? Your Faith Hills.
You might enjoy some country music in general.
I enjoy music overall.
Okay.
I am
across
a music nerd, but certainly country music is something that I grew up with.
Okay.
And I know a lot about it. And I also have a very catalog-y brain.
Right. Well, that's what I think that'll help too. A catalog of names and sort of like what they're doing kind of thing where you can, if you can do that, were you really good at that match this with that, the one column and the next?
Yes. Very good at that.
I'm terrible at that.
Yeah. No, I'm really good with cataloging pairs and information. And there's also, I'm fascinated by trends.
Yeah.
I think I really believe like philosophically that everything has cycles and we live in these cyclical natures. The universe turns, we turn in a circle, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So like everything that we as humans love has a cycle.
Yeah.
So, and you can kind of predict those cycles. So I love looking at when it's something that I'm into, be it comedy, be it music, be it food, you know what I mean? I will look into it and look at the trends and be like, oh, this is interesting because you can see these patterns.
Right.
Because nobody has original ideas. And that's not bad.
No.
We can find new ways to present old ideas.
Right. And if people have forgotten those ideas, and I mean, and the thing is it's like when people say there are new jokes, you're like, Well, if you make them personal, it doesn't matter if it's an old joke.
Exactly.
You've made it your own, and it's exactly. fine. It's not going to hurt anybody. Everyone will be psyched and go, oh, that's that joke, but with that twist.
Right.
Good times.
And that's honestly what Dolly Parton is a master of.
Yeah.
She has figured out what she's good at and how to do it.
What is she good at?
She's good at fucking everything. But first and foremost, she is great at business.
Okay.
Dolly Parton is a phenomenal business person.
Okay.
She has amassed a wealth that is mind-boggling. You know, most people, when they think about women and women and wealth, they think about, you know, Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They think about, you know, Celine Dion. They think about sort of these massive levels, and they're not really taking a look at the diversity and this breadth and the scope of business, right?
Okay.
Most people, you get into music, you get into comedy, you get into acting, maybe you have like you have a liquor, right?
Right.
I make booze now. Oh, I bought a restaurant. Right. Oh, I invested in a club. Oh, I did this. Dolly Parton has diversified tremendously outside of music. But even within music, just focusing on music alone, she has done something over the lifetime of her career that very few people in music have done, which is retained the publishing rights to each and every song she has ever written, in addition to retaining the composition rights, which means that she owns upwards of 75% of each of the songs that she's ever written, which means that her royalty checks are real.
Yeah.
And when she licensed something, she gets paid twice.
Wow. So the only one I can think of is the Whitney Houston one.
Yes, that's the most notable. And that song has a great history.
Yeah.
Elvis tried to buy that song from her in the 70s.
Outright.
Outright.
Okay.
Did not want to give her any publishing. That was the deal. Said, hey, I want to buy this song from you, but I want you to sell me the publishing in addition to this.
Right.
And Dolly Parton said, you can fuck right off. You can fuck all the way off. You can record the song, but yeah. I 100% I'm taking 100% of my 50% share, and you, if not 75%.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing too. People have recorded her songs because she writes the music and the lyrics.
Okay.
She can take 50% ownership.
Wow.
And
because it goes what? It's music. People are getting paid for what? Writing the music. Writing the lyrics.
Writing the lyrics. Performance of the music.
Yep.
Performance of the lyrics. So there's four parts.
There's four parts.
And to make it more complicated, each of those halves is 100, right?
Okay.
So there's 200%
that's
being broken up.
Yeah.
And so if a person can, in theory, write the lyrics and perform the lyrics and get that part and get zero on the...
Writing the music, performing
the music. Yeah. Wait, I just forgot what I said.
Right. So wait. Okay. So let's say you're in a duo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hall & Oates write the song.
Yes.
They write the song. They as a duo, they write the song and lyrics. And then they perform it as a duo.
Yeah.
Then they get all 200%.
Correct. But it could be broken down between them. Say Hall is better at the lyrics, but Oates is better. So it could be on the composition side, Hall gets 70% of that 25%.
Are you using composition for lyrics?
No, composition of lyrics.
Okay.
And then composition of music.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
There's two parts of a composition.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. So.
And then there's two parts of a performance.
And then now. Okay.
It's so confusing.
Right.
It very much is.
Which is why she's a freaking genius.
Exactly. To realize. Because most people were like, oh, I don't need to worry about writing a song. Specifically, if we want to take ourselves back to the year 1950, right? Anywhere between 1950 and 1965, right? Is an era where there's something called being a songwriter.
Yeah.
And songwriters are not song performers.
Nope.
They're not song singers.
Yeah. My brother talks about this all the time.
They are just songwriters.
They wrote the songs, and then people who could sing.
Correct.
Would sing, and the people who could play the music would play the music. That's probably why there's 200%.
Yeah, and they would really fuck over the musicians, because a lot of times what big studios would be doing, places, you know, like your Motowns, your Universals, would have a set number of session players. So in situations like Motown, they'd have like 12 guys that played all the instruments, and those guys were on retainers. So they'd get paid like $1,200 a month, let's say, to come by, and they would get called up to 9 million times that month to come through and to play bass on this one song.
Yeah.
And they would sign these waivers and said, hey, you're a paid session player and you are waiving your rights to the performance of this music. So that's why a lot of these songs that were recorded in the 50s to the 70s, the musicians that actually wrote the songs and played the songs, or maybe ad-libbed something and actually changed a composition, have never seen a penny.
No dimes.
None.
Okay.
So, and women in particular were always just hired as backup singers.
Yeah.
And then rare occasional lead singing parts. And right. most of the time, women were given session fees to do that and were X'd out of their royalties.
Ah.
Dolly Parton started doing session singing.
Yep.
Started doing songwriting.
Oh, that's how she started that.
Yes. When she started in her, you know, she was a little girl and she started singing. And then when she got into her teens and started realizing, oh, this is going somewhere, and moved to Nashville.
Okay.
That's where she first started getting her jobs, was as a songwriter, as a singer, as a performer.
And this is in that time.
In the 60s.
50s to the 60s? Yeah. Okay.
My ad. I'm about to do an ad. Rangers, this is an ad for Scentbird, which is a monthly perfume subscription service. That's right. And there's an exclusive offer just for Dork Forest Rangers. You get 50% off your first month today, which is $7.50 for your first fragrance. You'd go to scentbird.com/dork and use my code DORK for 50% off your first month. Scentbird is spelled scentbird.com/dork. And you try your first perfume or cologne for $7.50. What you should know, these are all authentic like brand names. These are not knockoffs. They're really fancy perfumes. So just so you know, thanks to Scentbird for supporting the Dork Forest. And with this exclusive offer for Rangers, you get 50% off your first month today. So $7.50 for your first fragrance. So I don't wear a lot of perfumes, but I have tried some and I kind of like them. I would like to smell pretty. Who doesn't want to smell pretty? So sometimes and perfumes are very expensive, so you don't want a shelf full of half-used bottles. So they come in small, like, I think they're like, what is it, 100? There's like 120 sprays per tiny bottle, which is more than enough. You can apply them 4 times a day for a month. That's plenty of perfume. This one is called Thorns Rose, and it's very pretty. It's kind of floral, and I like it. I haven't been using it more than once a day, so it'll last even longer. Anyway, so with Scentbird, you find a way to have great taste and mix up your fragrance routine without breaking the bank. There's Tom Ford, Gucci, Versace. Scentbird.com will keep you smelling good month after month. So I have tried the Thorns Rose, and I have tried Black Tulip, which was pretty great. It is they're both very, they're not overpowering, and because I like a light fragrance, and you can mix and match with the different ones. It's a luxury fragrance subscription is what it is for perfumes and colognes, and you can try new perfumes and colognes without buying an entire bottle. There's 450 designer brands, and there's Prada, there's Dolce & Gabbana, Cartier, Glossier, Calvin Klein. Try the brands you want. And they're all the real deal, obviously. These are genuine made perfumes. They are not in any way, shape, or form, not the authentic actual perfume. Choose a perfume you want to try, and they'll send you a 30-day supply. That's 120 sprays, enough to apply more than 4 times a day for a month. So, you guys, it's an exclusive order for Rangers. It's an exclusive offer just for Rangers. You get 50% off your first month today. That's $7.50 for your first fragrance. Go to scentbird.com/dork and use my code DORK for 50% off your first month. Scentbird is spelled scentbird.com/dork. Thanks a lot, you guys. Let's get back into the show.
So now it's 1965, and she's a songwriter and doing backup backup singing, and she's just making session fees.
Yeah, and she's working with Porter Wagoner, who's one of the, probably at that time, the most popular country singers. He had a show on television that was like the Porter Wagoner Hour, where basically everybody who loved country music is going to be watching the Porter Wagoner show.
Okay.
And he was known for having a series of girl singers. That was the terminology that was used, girl singers.
Right, which of course just makes you cringe.
And it should have, because he had a real reputation for liking the girl singers.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And Dolly Parton is famously one of the girl singers that told him not to like her. But also, it was a non-issue for her, where she was like, I'm not your girl. I am a girl singer, but I'm not your girl.
Right.
And she was so popular he had couldn't. To make sure that just, and he also genuinely loved and respect her. And I think he saw how special she was.
Yeah.
And was like, I'm not going to do anything to mess this up.
Right.
And this gal is gold.
Right. And this is something that I think that, that people need to learn in general, and women in yes. specific, is that you have to remember to remind yourself that you are special. And 100%. That you have to ask for the respect, because yes. the default is to not. Unfortunately, there are people in power who are often men mm-hmm. who will just take advantage of women or children or other men, will take advantage of people. 100%. And so unless you're, and if you have self-esteem issues, you won't stand up for yourself. So that was, and she's coming out of nobody standing up for themselves.
She's coming, exactly.
And like she's Marilyn Monroe killed herself.
Completely. And so. She's also coming from an incredibly poor background. I mean, we're talking, you know, one of a jillion kids in a four-walled cabin in the middle of the Appalachian Mountains.
Pilot's Knob.
You know what I mean? Sharing shoes. You know what I mean? She's from Pigeon Forge.
Pilot's Knob. Pigeon Forge.
Same difference. In Sevier County.
Sevier.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So yeah. she's this little Cheerful. Country chick. You yeah. know what I mean? Which is part of, I think, the reason why she was so bold, because no one told her any better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She was one of the youngest. She knew she was cute. She knew she understood the power that her femininity held.
Yeah.
And she didn't let that hold her back. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't afraid to take advantage of it and to right. lead with it. And that's one of the things about her that I think is remarkable, that we're starting to celebrate now, that we're stepping into a place where we can speak about femininity and we can speak about gender
yeah.
and how that influences power and how ownership of your body and ownership of your energy should be unapologetic, and yeah. that female bodies should take up space and shouldn't apologize for it.
Right.
She's been doing that since the 1960s. She's been doing it before ladies were really supposed to wear pants. You know what I mean?
Right,
like
right.
she's been out here saying, hey, yes, I'm a striking looking woman.
You are correct.
I am defying gravity yeah. right now, just standing and existing.
Right.
You know, throw some sparkle on that, we're all dead. You know what I mean? She's impossible to photograph because she's too fucking sparkly. She's been that way since 1960. That's a feat. You know?
Right, right.
And to be able to stand up to the most powerful man in country music at that time, who's giving you your first shot, who's giving your entrance, who's ostensibly responsible for you building your immediate audience. She right. built her core audience on that show.
Yeah.
And then told him, I need to leave.
Wow.
I need to leave and I need to go and do what I need to do. The song I Will Always Love You is the song she wrote to Porter Wagoner.
Okay.
That was her note saying, I gotta go.
Yeah.
That was her resignation letter.
Oh my
gosh. Was this song. And then in turn, that song into the largest grossing song and probably one of the most successful compositions of her entire life.
Okay.
Which wow. she also wrote on the same day as Jolene. Real life
Oh, that's
fact.
Right. Real life fact that she
that
wrote.
Shit blows my mind. I can't even imagine like writing. I've wrote half of a good joke on one day and it's been 9 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's taken me forever and it's like I'll find right. the other half of it. I can't imagine waking up before my coffee, writing I Will Always Love You.
Yeah.
And then being like, I'm just going to like do some laundry and walk around and then, oh, Jolene. You know, and you're like, oh, that'll do. You know what I mean? Like we should all be so lucky.
Right. Right.
You know,
I mean, there's definitely, I mean, she's clearly a genius and,
yes.
and, but sometimes genius can get left behind because they also don't know how to speak up for themselves.
And that's what she learned how to do
yeah.
fast and quick.
And that I bet you being the youngest of what, 13 kids?
Yeah.
A million?
Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. And yeah, you got to pipe up if you're going to want seconds.
You absolutely.
Or
figure out how to find them yourself.
Yeah.
Better yet, don't ask for seconds. Go find your own buffet, which is what she did.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, where she was like, oh, they can't provide for me. Let me go see what I can do, you know?
Right.
And then you go and you do it. She makes it happen. And the other thing she did is, you know, now you're busting out, you know, you're leaving this guy who's giving
right.
her
what
thing.
Year? Like,
I think
late
that 60? Was 67.
Okay.
66, 67.
Yeah.
To go and embark upon your own career.
Yeah.
And to start writing these songs. And Porter Wagoner goes on to have a career and ends up getting to a point where he gets very sick. He's not doing quite well. I think he had a little toot toot beep beep problem and ended up selling off his catalog, actually.
Oh.
And selling away his publishing. And one of the other great pieces of lore is that Dolly Parton went back some 20 years later when Porter Wagoner is an old man and is getting ready to die and is dying. And she purchased back his catalog and gave it to him.
Oh, my God.
And said, you should have this. You should make sure that your family benefits from
your work.
All of the work that you've done. I know why you did this. Doesn't matter what happened between us.
Yeah, yeah.
I will always love you. Here's your catalog back.
Here's your catalog. Your grandchildren are going to get to go to college.
Right.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Right. Who does
that? Who does that?
Right.
Without, nobody asked her to. Just something that she just quietly heard in the background and was like, you know what? This would be a good thing to do.
That is the thing that I learned from the Amy Miller, because I've been paying more attention since. And, you know, and there was a Dolly Parton song in 9 to 5 was in Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
And then Dumplin' came out on the TV, all about Dolly Parton, as sort of the soundtrack to that TV show. So I think everybody your age freaking loves Dolly Parton.
No, I think so too. And I've also been touting, I've been talking about this a lot as we talk about trends, is, you know, this, I've been calling this the year of Dolly Parton.
Okay.
Because she does cycles too. So she basically has 2-year generation cycles, like as comics, right?
Yeah.
Some of us want to put out a new hour every year.
Yeah.
Some of us want 3 years. Some of us want one album a year. One album every 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody has sort of these performance cycles. Dolly does it in 2 years. Every 2 years she tours.
Okay.
And she also records and releases an album every 2 years. And then in the meantime of that, she works on other things. So 2 years ago, she released a record, did a tour. It was called Blue Smoke. She went around and did all of that. And then this last 2 years, she's been working on various things. So she worked on Dumplin', bought the rights to that, decided to be a partner in developing that into there. She also sold and pitched a series of shows to Netflix and successfully sold a series of 1-hour specials that they are going to be creating fictionalized movies based on the songs. So Jolene, for example, is going to be one of them where they're making a movie out of the song.
Like a Lifetime movie.
Yes.
Or an after school special.
Yes. She's also released since that 2 years, 2 separate Christmas specials that are very Lifetime-y that were direct to her market.
Right.
She's also now, they're redoing 9 to 5. They're making a redo of that. She also relaunched her musical 9 to 5 in London. It never went there. That was out here in 2008.
Did you see it?
I did. I went to New York and saw it. It was amazing.
Was it amazing?
It was incredible. She's not in it. It's a whole thing, but it was still just fucking campy, great, gorgeous, super fun.
Yeah.
It was a great excuse to go to New York. And like, I have basically, the amount of money and time I have spent going to events, like people who know me well and inclusive of Amy will know, like I've done some crazy shit. Like I have an active season pass to Dollywood in my purse right now. I have Dolly dollars in my purse right now. This is.
Do you have the season pass as well?
Oh,
did you just say that?
Do you want to? Yeah. That's right here.
Have you and Amy ever, because she has one.
I don't know if hers is active.
I believe it's active.
But yeah, this year and last year are the first years in 10 years that I have not gone every year. I used to go every single May. I'd make a pilgrimage because in May it's homecoming in Pigeon Forge.
Yeah.
And so the city of Pigeon Forge has a parade and Dolly Parton has been the grand marshal of that parade for the last 30 years.
Oh my gosh.
So it's, you go and you see her in the parade, but then they also have special events in the park.
Right.
And she also does mini parades in the park and she also does press days.
Okay.
So you can see her up to 9 times or 10 times in the park and then go and see her in a parade.
Okay.
So me and my friend, Coach, who's one of my best friends in the entire universe and my partner in all things Insanely Dolly, we both have the same sickness.
You're on board.
Very much. I can call him right now and be like, Dolly Parton's in Minnesota and she's doing a private show for 400 people and I just got tickets. Do you want to go? And he'd be like, are you fucking kidding me? Right now I'm buying a plane ticket. And he'd go. But yeah, it's nuts. It's crazy. So you can go and have this whole Dolly Parton weekend.
Right.
So she came and joined us for one of these weekends where we went and I was like, hey, we're all going to be there. We're there. I always book comedy around it because it's a great place to do comedy as well.
Oh, excellent.
That's how like I busted into like the Tennessee sort of Southern scene was because they were like, you're here all the time. And I'm like, yeah, I'm coming to see Dolly Parton. And they love me because they're like, you love Dolly Parton. Like you get the South. And I was like, I do. Yeah. Fucking love it here. It's amazing. I will buy a house in Tennessee. So yeah, I go every single year. But she stopped being the Grand Marshal of the parade last year. She officially retired. I think it was just too much for her to do.
Right. It was. It's a big weekend. If she's got to do 9 things.
Yeah, and she's also like developing like 20 million things right now.
Right. She's probably so still much goes to the parade.
She's still on park.
Yeah.
But she just doesn't do the big city parade.
Oh, good.
She's okay. Like, ugh, it's too big of a rush. And honestly, for us, it is too, because the on-park parade is usually around 4:35, and then the city parade starts at 6:30.
Oh, my gosh.
So you got to get out of the park, you got to go, you got to find another place to park your car, and then you got to go find a park on the midway, a place to stand.
Right.
And I am, like I said, a crazy person, so I need to find the right place on the midway at the very start of the parade so I can get adequate pictures of her. And then we follow and sort of run adjacent to her float all the way down to the end of the parade, because she stops, and sometimes she stops and talks and does different things. And I don't want to not be in front of her while she's talking, because then I'll cry and be sad, because I'm psychotic.
If you miss out.
Yes. And ask, I mean, there's footage of like, I've had a couple friends that are like, I just want to come and watch you at Dollywood. And I'm like, come on. It's going to be I'm a different person there. You're going to see a whole different side of me.
It's a happiness that's coming out of you and a joy.
It
is.
It is
really, really great.
It's the only thing that really brings me that exact word, genuine, true joy, where I feel limitless. I feel like I can achieve anything. I feel full of just joy, genuine joy. And it's just from admiration. It's just the energy that emits from her. It's the energy of when you're there, of seeing all of these people that have the same visceral reaction.
Yeah.
And it's such a random group of people that I'm like, I would never talk to this person.
Right, right.
But we're right here, and all I want to do is just give him a hug and hold hands, and let's just run after her. Let's go. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to hurt her or do anything crazy.
No.
But it's just like, I do want to bask in the presence of her greatness as much as I possibly can for as long as I can.
Right.
Because I feel like it's just such a unique thing. And she's so willing to share it.
Right.
And that seems to be one of her core missions, is I want you to be just as happy with yourself as I am with myself. I want you to achieve just as much joy in your life as I've brought into my life.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, that's just a message I can get down with. And I'm such a cynical person overall. So for me, it's like this beautiful escape where I can allow myself to be free.
You know, exactly. You're just like, oh, there is good things. There is joy. There is people who support other people and all this. You know, that's interesting, because, I mean, one of the things is about gender and about being a woman and having this, you know, because she's very much a girly girl.
Oh,
right?
100%.
And is on board. She would like to sparkle.
Yes.
And she enjoys her boobs and they are out there so that you can look at them.
Yep.
And, but she is also not going to take your shit.
At all. In any capacity.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, diametrically opposed, you know, because it was always perceived not as a weakness, but probably as a weakness. But like, sort of like if you were a frilly girly girl, you were kind of a doormat.
Yeah.
And she's, I wouldn't, even when I knew nothing about her, I would not describe her as a doormat. So she's still touring and performing and showing up at Dollywood and all these things. Here's what I learned after the Amy thing that did not come up, was she donates books.
Oh, she has a whole philanthropic effort that is phenomenal. She has something that she has. It's a nonprofit organization that she came up with that is called the Imagination Library.
Okay.
The Imagination Library is sponsored by the Dolly Parton Foundation, which is an actual thing. Mm-hmm. She has several charitable arms. She also has something that's called My People, which is a movement and also a fund that she generated after all of the fires that were going on down there. Dollywood almost burnt down.
Oh,
all the Appalachians like 3 years ago went on fire.
Oh, wow.
So she donated $1 million to families in that immediate area and was basically giving them stipends every single week so that families could get themselves back on their feet. So the Dolly Parton Foundation.
She sent it out in weekly checks kind of thing? Like a person who's thought this through?
Yes.
We're not going to give you 50 grand
like
6 months
better
from
than
now.
FEMA.
Yeah.
Where she was like, every family for the next
better
6 weeks will get $1,500 a week or whatever it was.
Yes.
So I made a big donation because I was like, I know where it's going. Like, go, please help these people. It's not just going to a weird Red Cross bucket that's like going to get slopped onto a sidewalk at some shitty, you know, place that's, you know, well, everybody come and get your diapers, you know.
Right. And the thing is a lot of those, the nonprofits, like I used to work in nonprofits, and there's a lot of administration costs, and that's fine. because those people are at work.
Yeah.
They need to be paid.
Yeah.
And I'm completely on board. But if you have enough money, which is clearly what is happening here, you could actually do some real good.
Yeah.
Where everyone's making a decent living in nonprofits, which, by the way, most people are not.
Right.
Usually just the development director is making some good money.
Yeah.
And like usual, the CEO is making a pretty good living. And then and sometimes a ridiculous living. But for the most part, just a good living. But but like all the everybody underneath them, you know, administrative assistants and
they all work for pennies.
Right. Everybody just wants to be part of the solution. And but if you can, or if you have enough money, and Dolly Parton does, where you can somehow put that machinery to work, where you're like, how many people live there?
Yeah.
What is it, 16,000 people? And they all need $1,500 a
month? I can figure this out. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a calculator.
Yeah. Well, and she has the foundation and the organization set up to do it.
Right.
You know, and so, and she's built in. I mean, she is embedded into that community. I mean, she, and it's like a whole area that she's taking care of, and it's because she's also one of the primary business owners there.
So it's of Dollywood.
Yeah, well, and it's more than that. We'll go through all of her businesses. There's a ton of them.
You're at 30 minutes.
Okay.
Start talking faster.
Gotcha. but she gives out these books, you know what I mean?
Okay,
kids basically between the ages of 0 and 5 get a book every week, I think it is, or every month.
Right.
For the entirety of that time, and it's global.
Okay. Oh, global.
It's global now.
Okay.
She has expanded it. So an amazing thing, but her Dolly Parton Foundation, like if you donate to that in certain levels, there's also, she does a really good job of giving you access and rewards to special engagements with her and various different things.
A little
things.
Patreon.
Yeah, exactly, which is nice.
Yeah.
But no, in Pigeon Forge and in, you know, which is south of Knoxville. Basically, mm-hmm. Pigeon Forge is about an hour-ish south of Knoxville, southeast of Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is where Gatlinburg is another city that's right there. And that Gatlinburg plus Pigeon Forge in Tennessee is very much a tourist area. I describe it as visually, Gatlinburg in particular, and Pigeon Forge even more so now, look like a weird combination of like Fisherman's Wharf and like Tijuana. So like a lot of like Ripley's Believe It or Not Horror House, Jungle Ride, like drive these go-karts.
It's
like
the Wisconsin Dells.
Get this, get this cotton candy. Like, oh, take some old-timey photos.
Yeah,
oh,
you wanted stupid.
Yeah, exactly. Like 900 shirts
it's
like
kites
that.
Kites and fudge.
Completely.
Okay.
So that whole area is just that way it is. It's Hillbilly Vegas.
Right,
is,
right.
Yeah, the term people call it.
Oh, fair enough.
So she has Dollywood there, which has been there for 35 plus years.
Okay.
Adjacent to Dollywood is a water park.
Okay.
It's called Splash Mountain, I think, or something like that. So those two together have been there for quite some time.
Yes.
And they provide, I think, somewhere around 30,000 jobs.
Wow.
And she specializes, the special thing I love about Dollywood is that she has a focus on hiring seniors.
Oh.
So when you go to Dollywood, I'd say 50 to 60% of the staff is little old ladies and little gentlemen that are between 60 and 85 years old.
Right.
It's everything is slow as fuck.
Right.
But, and then there'll be like four goth teenagers and they'll just be like, I can't believe I have to work with Mabel and Gracie again. They always slop the chili slow. You know what I mean? It's always a treat when you see a teenager.
Right.
But like, it's just all these. So that's the other great thing is these people would never be hired anywhere else. And
right.
she has been like, no, I'm going to make sure that everybody who's old has a job.
And it's not union, probably.
I'm not sure.
I can't imagine. But, I mean, the thing is some things aren't union because they're paid fair and they're already providing.
I know that she's it's one of the best jobs to get down there.
Yeah.
Is they have a huge job fair and she provides health insurance, like all the things that normally you don't get, I know she gives them.
Right. She probably, I mean, here's a good way to have your business not get unionized is if you pay people fair and you give them the benefits that they would get so they don't have to unionize.
Correct.
Yeah. And then don't sweat it.
And then you're fine.
Yeah. Then you don't have to create a separate industry of union industry.
Exactly.
Which I did a union episode of the Dork Forest.
And nice.
So I've always been pro union.
My my best friend and the mother of my goddaughter, her husband is a union organizer. So I get it. Every time it's like union talk constantly.
It was NATO Green.
Oh, I know NATO. Yeah,
you know
NATO
well. Yeah. He was, and it was great actually. And but it's because you're you're San Francisco comic. Yeah. And as is he. So what is Dollywood? How much does it cost for a normal person? Is it like
I
universal?
I think it's like $45 for
the
day.
Oh my gosh.
It's $45 or $50 for the day.
Okay.
I mean, she has it really priced really reasonable because people are not poor there. I mean, are not rich there. People yeah. have a lot. And they also have a ton of kids there.
Yeah.
So they also do something where you can buy a family pass, like a family of passes.
Yeah.
And put them on layaway leading up to the season.
Okay.
So that you get, and then she, if you buy that, like you get extra passes. Like she makes it really accessible and really affordable.
Right.
For families that are there. Because so it's the you only can go, thing to do there.
Right. And so they have like their roller coasters and yeah, tilt-a-whirls.
It's a standard and, park.
Yeah.
And it's themed with basically like Appalachian pride. So there's like a whole, like one side of it is there's little sections.
Is there barbecue?
Just like, oh yeah, there's barbecue.
There should be barbecue.
There's fresh. You can literally, they are frying pork rinds fresh.
Oh my God.
There's an a blacksmith. You can go and watch them. There's a whole make a iron. Horseshoe. Yeah. There's a, they make all these iron crafts. There's glass blowing. There's a grist mill that grinds flowers that you can buy jams.
Okay, I want to go.
There's like there's a whole Craftsman Alley village.
Okay.
And then they just opened this year, which I haven't been to yet. And I'm going in August, so I'll see it then. Something called Wildwood Grove, mm-hmm. which is a renovation of their children's area that used to be called Country Fair, which is a little, you know, out of date now. Mm-hmm. So she's turned this into like this big like Technicolor multi light up tree with like phosphorescent butterflies and like it's all themed and like, you know, sort of like mystical,
but it's
fantastical stuff.
Cheesy.
Yes, in beautiful, campy ways.
Oh, right, right. No, yeah. No, yeah, but an embracement of embracement. Everybody's yes.
embracement of tackiness.
Exactly. We're just going, yes. So what's happening?
Yeah.
We're not super rich, but you know what we like? Sparkle shit.
Yes.
And we want to see stuff that that lights up.
Yeah.
And
there's shows. There's singing and dancing shows.
Is there a mirror that I could buy that might have like a Jack Daniels symbol on it? Wait, are there
possibly there's carnival
there
games? Oh yes, there's a whole carnival game section.
Okay.
There are several gift shops.
I imagine.
Several.
I understand. Amy did tell me that there was a museum in there.
Oh yes,
and it's
the Chasing
all of her
Rainbows
stuff.
Museum. Yes. I've spent several. It's actually part of my pilgrimage. I usually go in there by myself.
Yeah.
It's my little alone time. she also does her press events in there. I like to go through and see what's new every time I'm there because I have sort of memorized, so I'll go through. There's a little recreation of what her church growing up looked like. So there's a little pew and it's her dedication area to Porter Wagoner. And I usually go there and cry a little bit every time because it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I like a good cry. It's a nice cleansing cry.
Sure.
It's one of my things. I go in and there's a picture that I always take, a picture of myself next to a picture of her, which is an outtake from the images that were used for the Heartbreaker album that she has, which is gorgeous. It's like this like pastel pink. Like she just looks like this weird pastel angel, and she's got this tight cropped fro. It's gorgeous.
Awesome.
So I stand next to that and I do that. And then I go in my Porter Wagoner corner and then I walk around the museum, two mm-hmm. stories, top and bottom.
Wow.
It's a whole thing. And they actually redid it. I remember the first 3 years ago I went and I was heartbroken because when you walked in, it used to have the walls were decoupaged with rippings out of her hand planner. She writes everything by hand. Dolly Parton does not email. Dolly Parton does not have a digital calendar. Dolly Parton does not have a cell. She has cell phones around her, but she does not have a cell phone.
Right.
She still records and melodies into cassette tapes and then gives them to someone who figures out how to put it onto a CD and who figures out how to like do stuff in an old studio. But the walls had like pages of her handwritten scrawl and pencil, notes between her and Judy.
That had been shellacked?
Yeah, like shellacked into the walls. So it was this amazing history. They had pages from her tour diaries from the 80s that were like,
what did they do with it?
I don't know, and I want to know, Jackie. Honestly, the whole time I was.
Why would they take that?
Because they put up new pictures of framed things.
New pictures and new frame things, but take that down. That's fine.
Yeah.
Put that somewhere. That's a whole new.
Exactly.
Do you know what that could be? That could be a separate building.
It could be my new bathroom, Jackie. That's what it could be.
Why don't you make that into wallpaper? You're leaving money on the table.
Exactly, Dolly. I mean, because I do have a Dolly Parton themed bathroom. I have for the last 8 years. Yeah, it started becoming a problem where I was like, I need to condense this into like a space so that people don't think I'm a complete weirdo. So it's in my private bathroom, and the people come in and they're like, "Whoa!" I'm like,
"Yeah."
Well, it's light. I don't think people use this bathroom.
Here's how it happened. I walk into Amy Miller's apartment. There is a poster about the size of this poster of Dolly Parton.
Yes.
And I was like, do you know Dolly Parton? And she goes, what? And I said, why do you have a giant poster?
Of I have
and
she said, so many.
And I said, you know, I have a podcast called The Dork Forest.
Yeah.
And then it began.
Yeah.
So
many.
So Dolly Parton has, so she's a helper.
Yeah. I mean, in addition to the water park, the amusement park, and the hotel.
Okay.
Which she just recently did, which is they're all adjacent
Good
together.
Idea.
In downtown Pigeon Forge, she also has four other businesses.
Okay.
She has two separate dinner theaters.
Oh, interesting.
That are all like kind of medieval timesy.
Oh.
But not medieval times. So one of them is like lumberjacks throwing axes at each other.
Oh, that's good times.
And doing shit. Yeah, you can't go wrong.
I don't understand.
Another one is pirate themed, which I don't know why she has anything to do with pirates, but whatever. I don't care. I don't ask questions.
Because it's the greatest white trash moment in the world where you're just like,
again.
Because I used to do a joke about how we're going to invent time machines and that's how we're all going to die. Because we're going to go, I wonder what real pirates were like.
Yeah, and then you go back there and then they just stab you in the shit. Yeah.
Yeah, and they take your stuff.
Yeah, they're like, I live inside your stomach now.
Yeah. I'm using you to store
I heard there's
things.
Vitamin C in there. Yeah.
I don't want scurvy.
I heard in the future you can prevent this terrible disease, which I'm dissolving from.
Hey, you guys, Lydia Popovich, that's who I'm talking with. And it's at Hater Tuesday on Instagram and Twitter. And LydiaPopovich.com is the website. And this is awesome. So she's got, I got to go.
Yeah,
it's
you absolutely have to
because it I'm does. Gonna, sound, I mean, I'd like to go before she passes.
You have
hopefully
to.
She's going to.
We don't
live...
talk about that, by the way, Jackie.
Oh, pardon me. Is it like Macbeth? I'm
yes,
so sorry.
We do not talk about it. Every once in a while, ever since Prince died, I'm way more sensitive about it because
okay.
I never thought that was going to happen. And when the morning I woke up and Prince was dead, which is probably the only other person besides Dolly Parton that I'm obsessed with musically.
Okay,
I had a. It was a real situation.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't even talk about it. I can't even think about it.
Fair
it
enough.
Is just,
fair
it
enough.
Is...
What about Bowie? You okay?
That was rough, but I was okay.
Okay.
I was okay.
I know some people had some sad Bowie days.
I totally get it and see
yeah,
it.
No, I totally get it.
Completely get it.
Right. I'd had it
I
with
love
that.
David
Alan
Bowie.
Alan Rickman. I had an Alan Rickman
yes.
problem.
Yes. We all have somebody that's just that tender, sweet little
right.
spot for
and
us.
You're like, we don't know each other, but we know each other.
Yeah.
He knows I me. Love you. I think you're great.
Yes.
Anyway.
Although I am convinced that I think Dolly Parton, and I've told this to Amy too, I'm pretty sure she recognizes me.
She might.
Because of the amount of times, the number of years that I've been there and been adjacent.
And the
I
running?
Definitely know.
The running?
Yeah. I absolutely know that her staff knows me.
Okay.
That is a fucking fact.
Yeah.
Because Amy and I actually went last year
right.
to the James Corden show.
Okay.
Our friend Ian Carmel was very nice.
Oh,
she
yeah.
was performing on that show and he was very, very nice to let us be his guests. So we got
that
to go
was perfect.
And be in like the green room and like beforehand. And that's where I realized the difference between Amy and I's level of obsession, where Amy wanted to be very respectful and didn't want to go anywhere near the dressing room and was not open at all in any way, shape or form to knocking on a door or possibly saying hello.
Oh.
Wherein I got there and immediately was like, she's not here. And she's like, how do you know? And I'm like, because I know. Number one, I know what she smells. She's not here. I can tell you. The door is still open and I don't see, you know, her nephew, Brian, who is her staff. And then I saw Brian come in and I was like, she's here. And then I saw her like private stylist and I was like, Steve's here. She's here. And then she walked in and I was like, oh my God. And the door's open for time. And I was like, ready. And she like grabbed, she's like, Lydia, you can't go over there. And I was like, why? And she was like, don't ruin our chances to get 5 minutes on this late night show.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't give a fuck.
About
and Amy was like, we can't possibly. She's like, I don't want to risk any. I don't want to be like, oh, is this the crazy girl that bothered Dolly Parton when we were here? And I was willing to throw it all the fuck away. And I was like, oh, that's. We're different. We're fundamentally different people. I was like,
right.
I don't need. I will fucking
you
fuck
will throw,
this show.
Right.
If it involves me having an interaction with Dolly Parton in this intimate of a setting,
yeah.
Totally fine.
Have you
Absolutely
ever.
Fine.
Is there a VIP where you can get a picture with her?
I've done that. I've met her.
You have done that?
Yes.
You have met her.
I have met her.
Interesting. When was that?
I have met her. I met her on October 1st, 2016.
Thank you. Oh, 2016.
Yes.
Just 3 years ago.
Just 3 years ago. Yes.
Oh,
it was. It had to happen.
It. Yeah.
It was.
Expensive?
Very expensive.
Okay.
It was a treat to myself. It was a
right.
birthday present.
There you go. Well.
It was 3 days after my birthday. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to pull the trigger on this because I had already had four almost happens where I'd. Worked some back channels. I have some connections
right.
in several areas. And
well, 30 years later, you would.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
fact that you know that Steve is her stylist.
Yeah. I had a really funny moment 2 weeks ago. I was going to do a set at Hamburger Mary's.
Yeah.
It was like a 10 p.m. set after the drag show there. And so
yeah.
I'm on Instagram and I'm like scrolling through my phone. I follow him on Instagram because he's amazing. And
Steve?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Steve Summers. Fantastic.
Excellent.
So
note to self.
Following Steve Summers and I look and I notice it's a picture of Steve Summers and he's in Hamburger Mary's. And
oh.
I was like,
What?
And I looked at it and it was like 9:15 and I was like, please be there when I'm there. Please be there when I'm there. Please, I will do all my Dolly Parton material to your face. Because that's one of my dream jobs is like, I want to write her tour banter.
Okay.
I would love, I would give up everything if she's
How
like,
How many times have you seen her perform?
I think upwards of 35.
Okay. And is the banter, does the banter change?
A little bit. There's always, there's new lines here and there.
Yeah, but right?
But that's why I'm like, she needs some, like, I'm here for you.
I'm here.
Let's do this.
I've listened to these songs. I know some history.
I know the words. I know what you like. I got the voice, you know?
My ad. I'm about to do an ad. Rangers, this is an ad for jewelry. And it's jewelry that's made out of recycled gold. Here's a scoop about Ana Luisa. First of all, you get... Let's see. God dang it. My ad. I'm about to do an ad. Rangers, this is an ad for a jewelry brand called Ana Luisa. And Ana Luisa is amazing because they use 100% recycled gold in their products. And so I ordered some. So if you go to www.analuisa.com/dorkforest, and they will know that you have come from the Dork Forest. But Ana Luisa is spelled A-N-A-L-U-I-S-A. So here's the thing. It takes, I just learned this, and this is one of the reasons I picked them, is it takes 20 tons. It takes 20 tons. It takes 20 tons of earth mining to produce a single ring of gold. That's why brands refuse to tell you where their gold is from. And that's why they, Ana Luisa, uses 100% recycled gold in their products. I ordered some basic hoop earrings. Very simple. They have all different sizes of hoop earrings. I like a mid-sized. My sister likes a tiny. Big brands will charge you 10 times the cost of productions. And Ana Luisa can eliminate the retail markup, keeping the prices as fair and accessible as possible. They have all different, very unique kind of styles. There was a hexagram necklace that I really liked because I thought of D&D. Anyway, cheap breakable jewelry is rarely recycled and it's a huge waste. So Ana Luisa, the products, they come from the same jewelers as Tiffany's and Louis Vuitton. Am I pronouncing that right? And they give out a one-year warranty on every product. That's how confident they are. So I've been wearing these earrings for a week and a half, and they are awesome. And they're just a simple hoop earring. So they go with everything. They go with jeans. If I dress up, they go with dresses. And I would love you to look at their stuff. You should definitely look at their stuff. ANALUISA.com. ANALUISA.com/dorkforest. And you will like it. I promise you. Because it's all really pretty. Some of it's delicate. Some of it's bigger. And it's just a great company. So take a look at them. And let's get back into the show. What's her, the funniest line that you've heard her ever
One of
say?
My favorites. And it's yeah. not even the funny. It's just my favorites. And I'll tell you. The last funny thing that I heard her say is she does this thing every once in a while when she's performing and she's talking, people get quiet, right? And
yeah.
All, everybody's listening to hear what she's going to say. And without a doubt, someone will be like, woo, you know, yeah. like the lone woo. And she'll be like, now, Jed, I told you to wait in the truck. And it kills every time.
Every time.
Every time, including me. I know that it's not real.
You know it's coming.
I know it's coming. Every single time gets me. I just saw her in February. She was the Grammy Awards. The Grammy basically has an organization called Music Cares,
okay.
which provides phenomenal services to musicians who, much like comedians, don't have health insurance.
Oh, right, right. And then they get old.
And they get old. And also, much like comedians, have drug and alcohol problems.
Right.
So a lot of the work that Music Care does is providing rehab services and, you know, resources for musicians who are either in the height of their career or in the twilight of their career.
Right, right.
Opportunities and ways to be healthy mentally, physically, emotionally, everything.
Oh, great.
So it's a great organization. And every year they choose a person of the year. And it's usually a icon of a musician.
Right.
And then they hold an entire event and a gala where they have a sit-down dinner and a silent auction.
Right.
And then they laud this person and their career, and they have all other musicians come and do versions of their songs. And then that person performs at the end of the night as well.
Okay.
And it's a very hot ticket. It's very expensive. You can't even buy tickets unless you know somebody.
Oh, wow.
I know people. So I got in.
You went in.
So I went. And it was incredible. And I got to do my favorite thing, which is dress to the nines. I got to wear a fucking full gown, full face of makeup, hair, the whole thing, and see Dolly Parton how I love to see Dolly Parton, which is in my full glam and her full glam.
Yeah.
With my best friend and his Gucci suit. We looked amazing. It was incredible. but she came up at the end, you know, after everyone's performing, and there's all these amazing musicians performing, you know, good and bad versions of her songs.
Yeah.
And by bad, I mean versions that I didn't agree with. and then, you know, she came up at the end of the night and she was like, you know, I'm pretty famous for two things. Pause. Not those two things, from my songwriting and my banter or something. Like, it was like, so, just, it was so, I just love, she's so tongue-in-cheek. She's very aware of her imagery and
right,
what she is. But
right,
it was, she's always funny. I just love listening to, I mean, she truthfully doesn't need a tour banter writer. She does not need my help. She's fine just on her own.
She is, yeah, she's nailing it, it turns out.
But I would love, I'd love to see it.
Right. You
know?
You just want to be friends with her.
I do, yeah, truthfully.
Yeah. You, honestly, you would just like to have coffee with her.
Yep.
Even every 6 weeks.
Yeah. That would be great just to check in.
I have friends. I only get to see them once every couple of years.
Honestly, there was a period in time where I was seeing her more regularly than my family, which is a real thing. And I know my mom got it, but I'm sure my mom was like, so you can fly across the country, but not to the Bay Area? And I was like,
interesting.
Well, you're also not Dolly Parton. Like, yes, you're miraculous and you gave me life.
Right.
But she literally is continuing me wanting to live.
So right.
I need to pay homage and both directions.
Yes, she's, I mean, the thing is if I don't think she's a bad person to base sort of like,
I don't think so.
Well, you wouldn't, but coming from me, mm-hmm, it's but you think about like role models and people like that, because, you know, it's interesting because she's not, she feels like, okay, so from the outside, she's like, well, you're like, well, she's kind of a church-going Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Is she super judgmental? Is
right,
what you wonder. You
yeah,
know?
Of course.
And is she going to be a jack? And the thing is, you know, like, there's always like these iconic women performers that the male gay community like embraces, and that's true of her too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she has a big gay male following, right? And but is she cool? Like, what's her jam?
She's super cool. I mean, I think the best example of her coolness that I can provide you, which also is really indicative of how she deals with the dichotomy that she presents, right?
Yeah.
Where she does exactly that, where she has not alienated the Southern Christian morality
at all.
And totally is a gay icon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And she plays that tongue in cheek, where she's super girly and super feminine and has huge tits, but then she's also a boss.
Yeah.
On, I think it's Blue Smoke, which is the last album that she came out. I think it's on that one. I can't remember if it's that one or the one, the album before that. But she did a cover of, she always does one cover song on each album.
Does she?
Yes. The last one cover song that she did was Lay Your Hands on Me by Bon Jovi.
Oh, really?
However, she very cleverly turned it into a gospel song.
Oh.
So it sounds like it's about Jesus laying his hands on you. And it took me four listens before I was like, is this fucking Bon Jovi song? And I had to look it up because, like, I'm not listening to Bon Jovi every week. And then right, I was like, this is the fucking Bon Jovi song about doing it.
Yeah.
She took a song about doing it.
And made it into a gospel song.
Yes, about, well, and it works.
And if you think about it, who doesn't want to sleep with the Jesus?
Who does? He's hot. He's hot.
He's ripped like Jesus.
You know
what I
mean?
That's an old Greg Barron line.
He can make wine and bread, and, mm-hmm, you know what I mean, out of nothing.
He's got dinner on the table.
It's amazing.
Fry it up in a pan.
Yeah.
That guy's on board.
But I think that's a perfect example of, like, she's super aware.
Right.
And she knows how to do that, and I think
there's
not a lot of people can do that.
Not a lot of people, because I forget
we
if it was
We won't allow
Amy.
People to do that.
Right. You have to make people be okay with the fact that you're a whole person.
Yeah.
And she is very much a whole person.
Well, and she is. And that's the thing, too, is a lot of people associate her with probably 10 songs. Right?
Yeah.
These very upbeat, very poppy, you know, very iconic numbers. But people don't realize the depth and breadth of her catalog. And the music that I love the most of hers is the darkest. She has written some of the darkest songs.
Will you make me an eight-track Spotify track list?
Oh, I absolutely will.
Okay.
And it's going to be all songs you've never heard before.
Thank God.
Like 100, and it's going to be songs only if you promise to listen to the words.
Okay. I'll do that. I'll even follow along.
Yeah.
I'll like type the,
it's going to have, you know, two songs about dead babies.
Oh my God. Have you ever heard?
It's going to have one song about burning an orphanage down.
Oh my God.
These are real things that she wrote about in like 1969.
And are they hopefully against?
They're great. They're liberation songs for okay. sure. She also has a song about people, a conversation with an inmate who killed his wife.
Oh my God.
This bitch can write a fucking song is all I'm saying.
What about, Harry Chapin wrote a song about the last minute of a baby's life starving to death.
I love it.
And,
that's just right up my alley. I love weird, dark shit like that.
And I remember in college, I would just sit there and listen to it. And my roommate would come in and she'd go like, what are you doing? You're listening to that Harry Chapin album again, aren't you? And I was like, yeah, sometimes when I get depressed, I like to listen
to this on.
Harry Chapin. Cause nobody's more depressed than Harry Chapin. Cats in the Cradle, man. Cats.
You got to get in it.
He never got to play catch with his dad.
Anyway.
So, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I will absolutely make you. I love that. I would love to do that.
And it has to be finite.
I think eight is perfect. Yeah. I think eight is perfect because it has to. There's nothing worse than someone who's obsessive about something giving you like a 900. You're like, what? Guy, come
Murray,
on.
Murray just, Valeriano too sent much. Me 102 U2 songs.
That's too much.
I didn't listen to any.
Nobody needs two U2 songs. That's too many.
He loves U2, and I was like, I will listen to some U2, because all I knew was Sunday Bloody Sunday.
Although I will say, phenomenal live band.
Oh, yeah.
Just phenomenal live band.
He's seen them a bajillion times live.
I had never seen them live, and I went and saw them 2 years ago at the Rose Bowl. Driving in and out of that place was a goddamn nightmare. But...
Rose Bowl's the worst.
Incredible show.
Episode a couple episodes ago, my friend Ebony was on talking Beyonce.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she...
That was a nightmare, too.
She tried to go see Beyonce. She went and saw Beyonce at the Rose Bowl and then said, I will never go to the Rose Bowl again. Yeah. And then flew to Philadelphia to see Beyonce.
Yeah.
Instead of going to the Rose Bowl.
The Rose Bowl's a nightmare. Marcella and I went with two other friends. And it took us an hour and 35 minutes to park the car. And then it took us an hour and 45 minutes to get... to her house in Highland Park.
Yeah, that's insane.
It was crazy.
She bring it Marcella Arguello, correct? Mm-hmm. Am I doing it right?
Arguello.
There we go. So Marcella was on this program.
Oh,
speaking
nice.
Speaking of Kanye West.
Ah, that makes sense. I was going to say, what did she talk about?
And
Kanye makes sense.
Last episode that I taped also this day was about the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeffrey Baldinger was talking about how John Lennon was essentially Kanye West.
Ooh, interesting.
In the fact that he would say, I believe this thing right now.
Yes. He was very, very emotional.
And he lived unapologetically in the moment. And then tomorrow, he may not agree with what he said yesterday. Because, and he was like, it's because John Lennon is kind of a narcissistic jackass.
Kind of.
And as is Kanye West.
Oh, kind of. Yeah, again.
Yeah, both.
Full.
Full-on madmen.
Yeah.
Of self-absorption and very successful.
Which is like, you kind of need that to be
a
superstar.
Right.
You have to believe that you're the better than the best than the best than the best.
Right. Well, and then we were breaking down essentially the Beatles and talking about Paul McCartney's. Because the thing is we spoke of their flaws. Does Dolly Parton have any?
I mean, sure. Everybody's got flaws.
Yeah. She's a whole person.
I mean, I think some of the flaws are that, you know, she doesn't sing all of her show live anymore. I understand why.
She's 74.
She's 70 fucking 2 years old, 73 years old.
Yeah.
She's been singing forever. I want her to still be able to sing later and sing on recordings.
Yeah.
So, like, I get it.
So what does she do? Just play the songs again?
She does TV tracks just like most of us. You know what I mean? That go out there and perform and sing and do stuff. So it's basically backing tracks.
Oh, okay.
So she'll fill in the ad libs, but she's lip syncing for half of Beyonce does that shit. Anybody who is a major performer.
Oh, and has to do 120 shows a year?
Is singing 50% at best of their show.
Okay.
That is one of the myths I would love to like start. People get really, oh, she's not even singing. Nope. Nobody does.
Nobody
Your favorite rapper isn't rapping in real life.
So Milli Vanilli, not the villains that we made them.
Well, there's a difference between rapping over the own song, your own recordings of your songs and moving your mouth to someone else. Milli Vanilli did not even record it was not their voices on those tracks.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. What I have is I have a third of the information, and so I'd like to perpetuate that myth.
They did not even record the songs that they were lip syncing to.
Oh, wow. That is a terrible.
Yeah. But any other major performer, especially in a stadium situation.
Yeah. So you wish she was singing.
I wish she was. But... which means I wish it was 1970. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's right. Nobody
when
does
she,
that.
Right. When she was 30, it would have been fun.
Yeah.
And
other flaws would be the very first time I went to Dollywood, which was in 2007, 2008.
Okay.
I went there and I will just say this. It was during a program which they call the Festival of Nations,
okay,
which they still currently have.
Okay.
It's gotten better. But okay, when I went, it was not the most politically correct.
Racially sensitive.
Yeah, it was not racially sensitive. It was, you know, the way that they were celebrating culture. Let me just say this, Jackie.
Oh, good for you for being.
Worse.
Uh-oh.
Worse. They had little booths, little like booths set up.
Uh-huh.
With stuff. Mm-hmm. So like there was like a Mexico one and there'd be like little cutout, like cartoon children's that were like wearing serapes and like Mexican hats. And then you could go and buy your own serape or your own hat to wear around. Mm-hmm. Then they had like a, like Asian, and it was a very generic Asian. Like it was like, oh, is it Thai? Is it Chinese? It was just like, you've got slanted eyes.
Right.
Like, and then they sold like
all different
rice patty hats with like the ducktail braid down the back.
Oh, the braid.
The braid.
You know, I was in Vietnam. They sold those cone hats at the tourist places. And we all just looked at each other of the 14 people on our... And the, every single one of us, by the way, Whitey Magoos, on this old people tour I went to Vietnam. And we all looked at each other and we're like, nope.
Yeah.
Good, good. This has been vilified. We cannot even... Yeah. Even though I need a hat.
I can't do this.
I can't do
I'm
that hat.
I'm not going to be this white person in this hat. I need to find something of a sensible, breathing, sweat,
possibly just
fabric.
A baseball cap.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be fine. I found one on Gore Watt.
Yeah.
It was nice.
So, yeah, it was definitely a journey of like, and I'm Mexican and Russian, so they had like the little Mexican one, and then I ran into like a Russian version, and I just was like, if this isn't a cartoon amalgamation of my life, I don't know what is. And then like some of the food stations, like the food restaurants were like had like a Mexican station and it was just like worse than Taco Bell, you know.
Right
now they still do Festival of Nations, but they have 100% fixed it.
Okay. Yeah,
where it's like it's a message of unity, it's a message of peace, it's right. Not like singular pointing out of like, hey, this, where they'll have like dance crews, you know what I mean, where they'll be like, oh well, there's Polynesian dancers today and there's this, you know what I mean. So it's a little bit more bite-sized tastes of culture,
you know,
without
weird.
The weird.
We had this thing called, when I was in high school, this could end poorly telling this tale, but what the hell,
let's go for it.
It's called the Persian
podcast.
Market.
Ooh.
The Persian market was essentially, it would take all the different, you could have everybody had a different food stand, and it was all the different ethnicities of South Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Which means that there was both a Polish stand and a German stand, you guys. And but there was also an Armenian stand because we had an Armenian church and my people. And but I think that they just sort of like pulled stuff out of the woodwork. They're like, we can't just have pierogies.
We got to diverse this. We got to make it diverse.
Right. And it's just we're just going to have a Mexican stand, and we're going to have and the Persian market itself, like my stepmother belly danced. And my stepmother was Polish Italian ancestry. She couldn't have been whiter. And but they did belly dancing, and she took belly dancing. It was a very popular thing in the 70s as an exercise.
It
thing,
was
sort of like whatever. And but it actually was more sensitive than it was not. It wasn't a nightmare. Which I was.
Well, at least
I used
that
to
just,
look back
it's like
on
food.
It. It's just food, and we're
which
all
which is
just
a little
trying...
bit more accessible. And it's like, hey, try this thing you've never had.
Right. It's like they're like, look, there's Mexican dumplings. It's everybody has dumplings.
Yeah, everybody's got something wrapped in bread with meat inside. Yeah.
Have a hand sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's have you ever had that Puerto Rican potato with meat in the middle?
Croquette.
But I think it's called Riano. It's called like a Papa Riano or a.
I've had the Cuban, like the Cuban
it's a
version
Cuban
of it.
One? Okay.
All of those cultures, like croquettes, croquetas, like there's, everybody has little
that.
Weird
where,
potato
where they deep
meat.
Fried a, a potato, yes. A mashed potato with some meat in the middle of it.
Delicious.
It's delicious.
Oh, it's
they're doing
phenomenal.
The Lord's work right there.
100% phenomenal. Yeah. You're not wrong. all you want to do is be like, how many more sauces can I put on this and how many more can I fit in my mouth?
There's a place right by my house that, because Porto's over in Burbank is real proud of theirs. I don't like Porto's. Yeah. There's nowhere to park. Anyway, there's also nowhere to park by the place by my house, Ay Papa Que Rico.
I was going to say, is it Ay Papa Que Rico?
Yes.
I was sitting waiting for the light to change, and I just, that's the best name. And I could not stop saying, Ay Papa Que Rico. Like, I wanted to ask you if it's delicious because I might stop there and grab a snack.
You would be correct.
Okay.
Because here's the thing about Ay Papa Que Rico. It used to be a check cashing place, and then he put a grill in the corner. And now
already sold. I don't even need to know anymore. All I need to know is they wunch cats checks, and we're like, you people are hungry. Let's get a grill in here, stat.
And now he owns half the block. He's got
amazing.
The place is half the block.
Amazing.
And they've got those croquette things, and you should definitely either try that. The chicken's outstanding. They do a rotisserie chicken or a grilled chicken.
That's delicious.
It's delicious.
Speaking my language.
What's happened here is...
We've devolved into food because we're two fat ladies who love food. I mean, I don't know if you identify a fat lady. I'm a fat lady who likes food.
Jackie is a
gorgeous woman who's seated across from me.
Who also enjoys food.
Enjoys food.
I'd love to embrace more of this stuff, but so far I'm just sitting like a man.
Look at me. I'm all clenched over. This is great. I've never felt better.
I've never felt stronger about myself. Talking about Dolly Parton is a fantastic way to make you feel good about yourself.
It is.
And you can embrace the sparkle thing. Here's the thing about Lydia Popovich. You brought me your t-shirt.
I did.
Which is the greatest 70s vinyl. It says confident. I'm going to wear it forever.
I'm so
honestly.
Happy to hear that. I was like, is this going to be too much sparkle for Jackie? And I was like, I'm just going to bring it. If it isn't, she can find a good home for it.
If you hadn't already been a comic of the week on Jackie and Laurie, because I'm going to wear it when I record Jackie and Laurie tonight, and it's going to be on the next picture.
I love it.
So it's been an hour, just so you know.
Hey, this has been too long and too short. I'm always mindful of that because I could literally talk about Dolly Parton all day long. We've barely scratched the surface of her incredibleness. But this is the thing. People should explore on their own.
Yes.
I am known for preaching the gospel of Dolly. Mm-hmm. It is something I have turned several people.
Yes.
Amy and I one night had Jackie Fabulous on the show and we were playing Dolly Parton. And I believe in that night we single-handedly turned her into a Dolly Parton fan.
Yeah.
And I had a most beautiful moment where she leaned across. She's like, I never even listened to more than one song of Dolly Parton. I just listened to a whole album. And I was like, Jackie.
Jackie Fabulous.
Jackie, this is... But 12 of 48 albums that she's released. you have so much more to go. And now she listens to it all the time.
That's great. Because now Amy Miller turned me onto it.
See?
And now I'm even more in. I'm going to listen to 8 Sad Sack songs. Actually, feel free to do 6 Sad Sack and 2 something fun.
Yeah, I'm gonna mix it up. I won't totally depress it.
That'd
be great.
I'm going
to send you 8 you've never heard before.
Exactly. And what I will do, somebody remind me on Twitter to send the playlist out
for sure.
From Spotify so that we can all listen to it.
And then everybody can have it and enjoy it. And then, Jackie, next time you are in Knoxville, next time you are in Asheville, that's the place, Asheville, next time you're in Nashville, look into Dollywood.
It's a day trip.
It's 3 hours from Nashville.
Okay.
It's an hour from Knoxville. It's an hour and a half from Asheville.
Okay.
So if you got a day off... I wouldn't suggest you do it on the same day. That's crazy talk. And it's a day off that you don't want to sleep in a hotel.
Maybe we get the hotel... Andy and I go for a long weekend. Maybe we just do the whole thing.
Do it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I love going sort of the beginning of May.
It's honestly perfect time.
Because it's coming on spring.
Yeah.
Kids are not out of school. It's going to be fine.
Well, and she's historically there the first week of May.
Oh, well, maybe the second week of May so that we're not there
when
you will knock me over.
Yeah, when you'll see me running past you with rainbow streamers yelling out Dolly Parton's name.
Okay, Lydia Popovich, you guys see her stand-up. Enjoy. It's at Hater Tuesday and LydiaPopovich.com. Thank you for doing the show.
Thank you, Jackie, for having me.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?